ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
As Australians begin Christmas and summer breaks, around the world, 50 million people will toil in modern slavery. That's according to the International Labour Organization. South Asia and Southeast Asia are among the worst places for exploitation, and it's something anti-slavery advocates are urging consumers to investigate when they consider Christmas purchases. Grace Wong is Chief Advocacy Officer for the International Justice Mission, a faith-based anti-slavery organisation.
I think it's a great time of the year to be really conscious about the supply chains and whether or not the things you're buying in Australia have any links to modern slavery, either here or overseas. The Modern Slavery Act came into play in 2018, and since then, a lot of companies have been putting transparency reports or annual reports online so that people can actually know and understand a little bit about what they're doing to address modern slavery in their supply chains, to identify it, to assess risks, to make sure that they're responding to it. There's also a register online that the Australian government runs of these statements so people can do their own searches and do their own research. And obviously there's a lot of product listing or naming on there, such as Fair Trade. I know that Oxfam is behind, which also does provide some level of accountability and oversight into what is actually happening in the supply chains of products that people are buying.
Yeah, labelling unfortunately doesn't tell us a great deal, does it? I mean, it might tell you where a product's made, but it won't necessarily give you the details of the supply chain. Is that something, by the way, that International Justice Mission is concerned about, the adequacy of labelling?
We definitely think it's one step in the long march towards better understanding of supply chains, but agree that there's much more that can be done. Currently, the Modern Slavery Act at the Commonwealth level is under review, and we've been pushing for a long time for that act to be strengthened so that it creates really an even playing field, or maybe a tide that lifts all boats, so that companies across Australia who are supplying us with goods and services can be doing more, because there's an enforceable scheme that encourages them to very specifically burrow into their supply chains to ensure that they are doing the correct checks to make sure workers are being paid properly and treated well, and that no amount of their supply chain, if possible, is at risk of modern slavery. The labelling does address it to a certain degree, but doesn't actually give us the thorough framework, like a due diligence framework, for example, which could be brought in at a holistic level and sort of filter down into different parts of a supplier's supply chain. It's often very complex and works at several levels. And so sometimes the labelling doesn't necessarily hone in on some of these issues. And we do think a lot could be done at a systemic level within corporations and also government responses to modern slavery to help ensure that Australians have confidence that when they go and buy something off the supermarket shelf or go to a retailer, that everyone's made as much effort as they can to understand and know and offset the risks of modern slavery.
Yeah, look, one way of dealing with this is that a lot of NGOs, human rights NGOs and aid groups, including, I assume, the International Justice Mission, offer these things called equivalency gifts. What are they?
Yes, so part of our Christmas campaign at the moment on our website, igm.org.au, is to give people a sense of what does it actually cost for our programs and our teams out there to work alongside people who are at risk of modern slavery or who have experienced modern slavery and need the support of either IJM, other NGOs, or even governments whom we're involved in supporting, to identify their case, respond to it with a lot of good social support and services to help restore them, and also to really create an environment, an ecosystem, where those sort of laws are enforced to protect people who often don't have the privilege or the connection to get recognition under their own laws because of poverty or lack of status, or sometimes because they're children, in the case of our work in the Philippines with online sexual exploitation of children. And so these equivalency gifts actually provide a bit of a number in Australian dollars as an indication of what it costs us as an organisation to support government in bringing about rescue or restoration or prosecutions that provide a little bit more hope and justice for people who aren't as fortunate as some of us in Australia.
The focus of your current campaign on human trafficking is in and from South Asia. I read this extraordinary story about a man. You were involved in his case, Appa Rao. Tell me about this extraordinary story of Mr. Appa Rao.
Yes, Appa Rao is quite an extraordinary story because he was separated from his family for about 2 decades. And IJM works in South Asia, really supporting and empowering government agencies there to know and understand human trafficking and to be involved in celebrating their efforts to recognise and identify bonded labour. And so in particular, Appa Rao was a grandfather who really wanted to buy a small gift for his daughter, Siyama. He thought he could buy her a nose pin or something special to sort of acknowledge the fact that she just recently been married and had a young toddler. So he decided to go to the train station with a number of others in his village to look for work, and unfortunately got left behind in that travelling cohort at a train station a few hundred miles from his place of home. And unfortunately, due to dialect and differences in languages there, he couldn't communicate with anyone, but was picked up on by what seemed to be a kindly gentleman at the time to help him get some work and to return home. He offered him a really good job, actually, that seemed to promise a lot of work, consistent work, and just some wages for a year. But unfortunately, he found himself trapped in a situation where he basically had to shepherd sheep without any pay and just meager meals for about 22 years.
Yeah, and let's just, I just want to repeat that. 22 years this man disappeared from his family.
And was tending sheep and was on his own actually in the field largely by himself. And he ended up being hundreds of miles away from home. What was so extraordinary was that the local district official there had actually received a tip about an elderly man who's potentially working without pay, and then went to go find him in this field who's confused and disoriented, exhausted, and she recognised signs of bonded labour immediately, and then with support from our team filed a case to try and bring him to safety and to get his situation acknowledged by the authorities so that he could return home. But unfortunately, no one knew where he was originally and how to find his home, and so a lot of local media and national coverage of the event, especially online, tried to draw attention to it in the hope that someone would be able to identify his origins. And it was so extraordinary that his daughter actually came across a BBC video about him. When she realised it was him, she managed to contact the BBC and they drove 3 days to meet him. And so it's really incredible because the video on the website that we have is sort of a dramatic portrayal of the story. But at the very end is this beautiful picture of him with his family reunited. It's just incredible that organisations like IJM and others have an impact at a national or a statewide level in terms of supporting government in what they're currently doing to address human trafficking. But then to see it happen at that granular level to make an impact for one person who's been in that situation for decades is just really extraordinary. We're really hopeful and appreciative of all the people who support that work, especially in this time when everyone's busy and thinking about Christmas and the joys that they have with their own family. It's wonderful when people can think about others too.
Well, thanks for shining more light on it. Grace Wong, Chief Advocacy Officer at International Justice Mission. It's a faith-based organisation that fights modern slavery. And there's 50 million plus people in modern slavery today. Grace, thank you for being on the programme.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew, and Merry Christmas.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.